Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And he spake in parable unto them at this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversity. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, neither regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Good morning. Still morning. A loving father is devastated. His wife left him and took his children away. The court said the only way he could have the children stay with him for a short stay at least was if he found an appropriate, child-friendly place to live with a steady income. That's what he needed. Now, this really hurt. You see, he loved his children more than anything. He had never spent time away from them. So he tricked his wife that he was the new nanny, because she needed a new nanny. And he did this with makeup and a bodysuit. Later, invited to a birthday dinner at his estranged wife's new man's place, at a restaurant, he saw the man having an allergic reaction caused by something he had done to the man's food. Seeing the commotion from across the room, being as he was at another meeting as well, he rushed at full speed, jumping across the table and across the chair, shouting, help is on the way! Help is on the way! To sort a problem which he had caused himself in a jealous rage earlier. Through helping this man, his disguise was exposed. His wife shocked at the nanny's identity, yet helping the man at all costs was more important than keeping his secret. Yes, Robin Williams' character as Mrs. Doubtfire wouldn't give up on the person he hated, even though he knew the consequences would be unbearable. This was just a film, and yet has no comparison to the love and patience our Lord and Father, who hears our prayers daily. Did you get the film? Straight away or later? Let us pray. Father God, I thank you that we can pray. I thank you that you can answer our prayers. But most important, thank you that you can allow us to be your hand in answering people's prayers. I pray that you'll help the words I say be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you like me, had difficulty after difficulty to deal with. Like you're going through some problems, and as soon as you get through that problem, another one starts. Of course you say your prayer, but nothing seems to help. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. I say, really? Rejoice in difficulty? Pray without ceasing? Don't give up? Not easy. In Luke 18, Jesus was talking about his second coming, what's happening in the last days, and the difficulty his followers would have to go through. Didn't want them to give up, but to pray and not faint, to hold on, to trust his promises, and to trust that his promises, that he will never leave them or forsake them, even though troubles come. The parable tells of an unjust judge, a widow who lost her husband and provider and went to a judge for help. But the judge would not help at first, but made fun of her with his colleagues time after time, time again and again. Now the widow had a very good case, and the judge knew it, but couldn't be bothered. This case was beneath me, I hear him say. Does she know who I am? I don't have time for this. I got more important cases to deal with. I don't think she realized how important a job I have to do. My words, of course. And he probably put her case to the bottom of the pile. He would not have compassion on this vulnerable lady. He had nothing but contempt, thrown his privilege weight around at the poor widow's expense, kept throwing her out of court, dismissing her case, yet the judge did not count on her never give up mentality and never give up attitude. Again and again and again she came. Eventually the judge gave in and took a case, not because his heart melted with compassion, no, but because she wore him out. He got tired of her coming, and now is beginning to look bad in front of his colleagues, and I don't think he ever counted on her persistence. Yes, we're told we are to rejoice, pray constantly, give thanks for our circumstances, for this is God's will. Jesus must have said this for a reason. It must benefit us somehow. Now, growing up in a Christian home, I would walk past my mother's room first thing in the morning and last thing at night, and I would hear her praying. I would hear her praying, and her prayer would be for all of her children. She'd name them all by name. All of her grandchildren, she named them all by name. Her great-grandchildren and her great-great-grandchildren. Over the years, she always, to today, she still prays. When the weather was bad like this, yeah, that was yesterday, yes, my mother called to see if I was home okay, because she knew that I would ignore the warnings and go to work. Mum always prayed. I have always been in awe of my mum. Sometime my mum would get a dream. She said, Colin, I had this dream. I'm not telling you about the dream, but just be careful on the road. And you listen. because mum was in tune with God. She prays and she talks to him every day. And I think it must have rubbed off on me sometime, because now I will pray for my children and my family as well. I'll name them all. Well, actually, no, I won't name all of them. I will say my children and my brother's children, and as far as I go, the other ones, the nieces and nephews and other cousins, I'll say, oh, and all my cousins near and far, all my friends near and far, and I'll cover that. But no, not my mum. My mum will pray for everyone. But now, a question I want to ask you, is there a difference between praying and saying a prayer? Praying and saying a prayer. I think it depends. I think there is. I think it depends on circumstances. Well, you ask those three Hebrew boys if there's a difference. Because I've got a slight feeling that when I'm going to go to my bed, I'll say a quick prayer as I normally do. I say the same every day. I hop into my bed. I stay warm. Now, when those Hebrew boys is going to that fiery furnace, do you think they said a quick prayer like you do when you hop into bed? Probably not. I think they pray deep because of their circumstances. I think they are praying like their whole being needed it. And of course, were their prayers answered? Oh yeah. Not only were they put, now the funny thing is, they weren't taken away from the fiery furnace. Oh no, they started to go to the fiery furnace. But they didn't go alone. Jesus was with them in the furnace. Now, were their clothes smoky? No. Were their clothes burnt? So we serve a great God. How about Daniel in the lion's den? He got into trouble because he prayed. Now, do you think he said a simple prayer, help me today, Lord, and yeah, that's it. I think he probably said a sincere prayer also. So a question I'm asking is, what made their prayers so special, so potent? What made their prayers so powerful? I think it probably be the time they spent with God. You see, when I go to get into my car, I will say a prayer, be with me, and be with the drivers on the road every time I get into the car. And sometimes I get in the car and I start driving and I forget, and I'll say it then while I'm driving. Now, I've been involved in an accident before, and it was quite a bad one. Do you think I said, oh, Heavenly Father, from north, from to the south, I thank thee, O Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, O Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, and all the names that he has. Do you think that came on my lips? Or do you think I said, help? Probably the latter. When we're in trouble, we say the first thing that comes on our lips, help me. Now, do you think if I have a PhD in praying, that an eloquent prayer is any better than my help? In fact, when I pray, my help, before I pray, someone is with me. And someone takes that prayer and
adds a little sugar on it, adds a little bit of spice on it, and sends it to my Heavenly Father, who takes that prayer and said, oh, yeah. Or he may say, what he's going through, he'll be okay. I got it covered. Or he may say, no, this is a bad one. I need to step in. The difference is our prayer means something. I grew up talking about the characters of Daniel and the Hebrew boys, David, Elijah, all these prophets. They spent time with God in the good times. They didn't wait until it was bad before they start spending time with God. Now, when I grew up, I didn't read very well. And that was because I had a bad stutter. Sometimes I still stutter. But sometimes when I calm myself down, I can get it okay. And the problem I had is because of my anxiety of reading, I will speak very fast. Warning, if I speak to you and I'm speaking very fast, do what my mum says. Brakes! That tells me, slow down, say it again, so they can understand. So if I speak very fast, just say brakes, I'll understand. And because of that, I wouldn't read very much. Definitely not up in church. But I still spent time with the Lord, but not as much as I should have done, because if I don't read to know about his goodness and his loving care, how can I put it into practice? And it took going to an aunt's house many, many miles away, and she introduced me to a cassette recorder. That's these things that have reel-to-reel, and you put in a machine and... You know, ask your parents, the children, ask your parents. Some of us older ones will understand. If I gave you a pencil and a cassette recorder and you're of a certain age, you know what the pencil was for. It's for winding the arm because you got a bit raveled up. Yeah, never mind. Ask your parents, they'll tell you about it. Now, I had a whole Bible on tape. And I've been trying to read the Bible. That was always my goal, to read Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I never got past Leviticus, let alone Numbers and Deuteronomy. He begot and this and that. Oh, that was too much for me. But once I had the tape, I put the tape in my cassette machine that plays the tape. You know, I can play it on my long journeys, and I was able to go there from Genesis to Revelation. I enjoyed that so much so, that I was able then to go from cassette recorder to my Bible. I was able to use my Bible not just on Sabbath morning to do the scripture reading, to follow the scripture, because I wouldn't do it up here, to follow scripture reading. I would read in the week also. I would also read spiritual books, which was beneficial to me. And the more I read, the more I understood, the more I got closer to the Lord. And I try and teach that to my children. And they do the same thing, because what they see you do, they do also. Technology is so good, because now I have the Bible on my device. I have Ellen White's writings on my devices, and I love her writings because they draw me back to my Bible. But do you know something? We all have a goal, our goal of getting closer to the Lord. But do you know we can be that same goal that God can use to reach somebody else? So I would say the closer that I got to my Lord, the closer I enjoyed reading. And the more I enjoyed reading, the more I practiced, So much so now I'm talking to you here now, and I know when I see blank faces to put the brakes on myself. I know that the more I draw closer to him, my attitude changes. Now, does that mean the closer I get to God, I don't get through any difficulties? No. Well, you ask Elisha. He had done such a great job in his counteract with allowing the Lord to let fire come down and burn up the altar, burn up the water at the altar. He'd done all these great things for his Lord. And then, at the sound of a woman's threat, he hightailed it into a cave. Here's someone who was spiritually close to the Lord, yet still he got discouraged. I tell you this because we can get discouraged. And just because we get discouraged don't mean we give up. We do what we can to allow people into our lives who can encourage us. I have a song which I'm not going to sing, a song which I like, and it's, "We fall down, but we get up." And a saint is just a sinner who fell down, didn't stay down, but got up. And that song, when I'm really feeling down, I play it in my head a lot, because I like the words. We are not expected to fall down, but if we do fall down, we can get up. It can affect us as children going through difficulty at school. It can affect us as teenagers going through a hard patch. And we wonder, well, I must be doing something wrong, because everything is going wrong. No. As it said earlier, just trying to find it. Rejoice. Okay. Well, I can't find that. Rejoice in our difficulty. Rejoice in our difficulty. Rejoice in our problems. How does that make any sense to rejoice? Because rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for us. Do you think the more we get through difficulties, we can look back and remind ourselves that we're not alone? Stories told of a young man. I may have told this before. So I told a young man. He's out walking, and he fell in a hole. And he was in this hole for a good long time. But no one came. He cried out as much as he could. No one came. He then heard, after many days, a voice. "Hello, mate. You okay?" "No, I'm stuck in this hole." The young man jumped down into the hole. He said, "You silly person, why do you jump in this hole? Now we're both stuck." The young man smiled. He said, "Oh, don't worry. I fell in this hole last week. I found a way out. Follow me." Yes, we can mess up. Yes, we can go through difficulties. But isn't it nice that I can call someone like Uncle Steve to bring a message to me, even in a children's puzzle? And you won't realize, yes, the puzzle is for Jada Lee, but I enjoy it as well myself, so I'll do it with her because I enjoy it. I can call, and God can use Dominique to help me. How? She can make sure the mic work. Now, that's a simple thing you may say, but if you can't hear me, what good is it? God can use us in the simplest of things. God can use even little Jada Lee when I'm feeling really, really down to come up and say, "Don't worry, Dad. It won't be like that all the time." And she gives me a hug. And guess what? It all goes away. Isaiah 11 and verse 6 says, "A little child shall lead you." They said it for a reason. The question I have for asking you, like in the movie with Mrs. Doubtfire, when the help is on the way, are you prepared to be that help? Can I count on you? Can God count on you to be his help, to be his answer to prayers? Yes, we can mess up. And yes, we can go through trouble. But one thing, God doesn't lie. He promised never to leave us. He promised never to forsake us. He promised to always be there for us. And when you're going through problems and it doesn't get fixed straight away, it could just be your way of shaping you for better and stronger things to come. The saying, "A smooth sea never made a good sailor." A smooth sea never made a good sailor. He has to go through the rough waters and practice rough waters, so when it does come, it doesn't catch him unawares. So the question I ask for you, are you going to be the person that God uses to say, "Help is on his way"? Will you be that help?